doing. And a lot of people say it's aburrido, which is Spanish for boring. And I've been doing over 50 years and I love it. But what are we really doing? What have we just done? And it goes along with my message, but what have we just done? Well, during the pandemic, a lot of us are getting bored, right? Good, I got a couple of smiles. That's good, you're listening to me anyway. And a lot of you are you, not me, but a lot of you are doing puzzles. Any of you doing puzzles? How many of you are doing puzzles? Any of you? One, two, three, good. Well, I don't do puzzles. But when I think of what we're doing here at Park Crest right now, I think of puzzles. I think of puzzles. I don't do them, but Gloria does them. And you know, there was a family and they did a puzzle like this one day. And they were having a terrible time. I mean, it was 1,000 pieces. Come on now. 1,000 pieces, and they look all the same to me. But anyway, this family, they decided how they were going to do it. The man of the house, of course, he says, what I'll do, he picked the easiest one. He says, I'll pick out all the pieces beforehand that has straight edges. So he will pick out all the ones around the frame of it, all the ones that are on the top. That's the man for you. He took the easy one. And then he said to his lovely wife, you pick all the one with blue in it. Okay. And then he said to the children, you pick all the one with the trees in it. So they picked them all out and they put them in piles, but they still were having trouble. It was still complicated. What could they do? You know what they did? They kept going back to the diagram on the box. They kept going back to the source. They kept going back to the original. And that's just what we did. I feel sorry for those people. And I'm not making a doctrine out of it, but those people who do it once a year or twice a year, even four times a year. Some do it once a month. But, you know, I appreciate and I enjoy it every week to go back to the source, to go back to the beginning, to go back where it all started. And that's where Jesus met his disciples. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. So I enjoy it. And so if some people ever ask you what we're doing here, it's just like a puzzle. I mean, we were all a family here at Park Crest. And as I said, Brian, he did the worship. He did a part of the puzzle. And then Andrew, he's doing the emceeing. He's doing a part of the puzzle. And then Mark, he's leading us in worship and doing the techie part of it. And then Heather, of course, playing the piano beforehand. It was beautiful. So anyway, it's good to be with you. It's good to be with you. And Gloria and I believe we have a message from God. I listened to the message last week and we were blessed. Matter of fact, I think I listened to it twice. Yeah, just to get into the theme. So what we'll do now to start off, we'll share the screen, if that's okay with our techie there. And we're hoping that everything will turn out all right. And we'll just make sure it gets going here okay. And we'll get rid of this, we'll get rid of that. This is always a lot of fun getting over. Once we get over, we get over. So that's good. So we'll get rid of that, get rid of that. We get rid of that. And let's find, where is Park Crest here? There we are, Park Crest. Fantastic. Must be an easier way to do this. So here we are. Okay. We made it. We made it. Now let's just make this a little smaller too. There we go. Great. Now, the message today we find in Galatians chapter 6:6-18. And I would encourage you to get your Bibles out. We're going to be putting them up on the screen, but I would think it'd be much better to have your own Bibles there with you. Okay, good. Are you ready now? Good, fantastic. Well, we're going to be talking about Galatians chapter 6:6-18, and to start off, we're going to have Gloria read to us the first verses of 6 to 10. Gloria, please, and follow along in your Bibles if you can.
Those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith.
So what we're going to be doing today, we're going to be talking mainly about reaping, and we're going to be talking about the cross of Christ. And the two verses, sort of my theme verses, is chapter 6, verse 7, which says,
"Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap."
And Galatians 6:14 says, "May I never boast except in the cross of Christ." Galatians 6:14. Now, it's kind of interesting this morning, because we're coming to the last lines of the book, or the letter of the Galatians, the last part of it. Have you enjoyed the series? I have. I've come in two or three of them and listened to them, and I have been blessed. But this morning I have two particular goals. And first and foremost, I want to lift up the awesome name of God. And we find it here in this chapter. And it's just wonderful to read about him and to learn about what God has done and what he's doing and what he's going to do for us. Now, the second part is I'm hope that something I say, something I share with you this morning, maybe it's a word, maybe it's a thought, maybe it's a phrase, maybe it's an expression, whatever, will help someone out there in Zoom land who feels like quitting. We are going through rough times. I'm feeling it, and I don't usually have problems along those lines, but I'm feeling it. And really, there's three different things that I'm going to be talking about this morning. And that's the first one is sow to support teachers. And we're going to be seeing what that means in this passage. Sow to support teachers. And we're going to find that in verse 6, and we're going to go there in a few minutes, where it says, "The one who has taught the message must share his goods with the teacher." The one who is taught the message must share his goods with the teacher. And then we're going to talk about sowing to the Spirit rather than sowing to the flesh. Then the last part, we've got about the whole idea of sowing or doing good works. Doing well, helping people, encouraging people, building up people. Now, let's look at that first thing. Look in your Bibles there in verse 6 of chapter 6. And I must admit, I'm not at ease in approaching the 6th verse of chapter 6, because it is very directly bearing on my life and Gloria's and the ministry as a teacher of the scriptures. I hope that you out there in Zoom land, out there at Parkcrest, know us well enough to feel comfortable that I'm not going to use this passage, I don't wish to use this text to serve my own personal gain. I'm very sensitive on the subject of sharing with those who teach for the same reason you are, that there are many who, in the name of Christ and Christian ministries, line their own personal pockets with funds gained from people. Well, this is a serious problem, and especially now during the pandemic, when everybody's having a hard time, ministries are having a hard time, a lot of missionaries are having hard times. But that's not the reason we're speaking on this. And that is not the underlying problem in this passage, even though people use this passage to sort of talk about this particular problem. Martin Luther, for instance, wrote that preaching on these verses made him uncomfortable, just like it makes me uncomfortable. I understand that sentimentally completely, because when I'm watching TV programs, I'm hearing over and over people wanting to get money, and that's not a good thing. Let me tell you a story I remember of a circuit rider. Years ago, of course, these circuit riders, these preachers would ride from town to town preaching. And there was this one person, preacher, that was very poorly dressed. His attire and his clothing revealed that he had little of this world's riches. He himself was thin and less than perfect health. His horse, on the other hand, looked very good, well-kept, slim, and well-groomed. And so one of the parishioners asked him to the preacher, but why is it that you look, you know, sort of poor and not nice clothing, and your horse looks so well? Well, the preacher said, I look after my horse. You look after me. I didn't see two of you, many of you smiling. But anyway, dear friends at Parkhurst, I have never needed to send a self-addressed envelope to tell you that I had to leave the ministry because of lack of funds. The Assemblies of God's People, and this is to his glory, have looked after Glory and I and four children fantastically over 50 years. 50 years we've been in the ministry, over 50 years, and God has been so, so good to us. Yes, we are receiving these all the time. All the time, people are sending letters asking for money. But praise God, we've never had to do that. Now, the book of Galatians, unlike most printed material we read in the mail from Christian ministries and institutions today, did not come with the appeal for funds. Now, I believe in all of these ministries here. Don't get me wrong. I'm not criticizing them. I am just saying, thanks to you people and the people of God and the Assemblies of God, we haven't had to send out these. So don't get me wrong. I am not criticizing these groups because I support them. But every day we receive, even in snail mail now, letters. Paul is not speaking for himself or for his own personal gains in this passage. Paul is speaking for those in Galatian churches who had needs, and not just financial, but they had burdens, they had problems. And he was telling the Christians there that they were obliged to help them, to encourage them. Paul's practical thought on finances were very strict. Both his personal funds and those given through him were beyond reproach. And we're just going to read a couple of verses to get into this thought, because a lot of people take this passage a little bit different. What's the first one, Gloria?
I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing.
So Paul is not, in this passage in chapter 6, is not hinting or asking for funds. And the next one is?
We want to avoid any criticism of the way we administer this liberal gift, the money that has been given for the Christians in Jerusalem. For we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men.
Now, last week, you had a tremendous talk, and you were talking about Christians must help to bear the burdens of others. And that was a very good, challenging, exciting message. And the precepts of verse 6, prescribes a practical outgoing of the principles that you heard about last week in verses 1 to 5. Paul has laid down two fundamental principles. First, as I said, Christians must help to bear the burdens of others. And then the second one is,
Each Christian must individually bear his own burden.
And we heard about that. I thank you all for sharing. Sharing, I mean, we've had people this week from your church, from your assembly, from your fellowship, come to our door here. We talked to them. We had a wonderful time with them. They left us a little gift and a distance, of course, with masks on and so on. So we thank you for taking care of us. Now, we're going to read the verses that you took up last week to really get into the atmosphere here.
Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. Pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. For we are each responsible for our own conduct.
Wasn't that a tremendous message? Gloria and I, we enjoyed it immensely, and we certainly appreciated it. And, you know, we listened to it, and we phoned up David Jones after and thanked him for that message. And he showed us from Scripture, from the first five verses of Galatians chapter 6, that we have to take care of one another. We have to help one another. We have to encourage one another. We have to build up one another. And if you didn't hear that message, or if you didn't see that message, or you didn't get that message, check with Andrew. He can give you the link to it because it's worthwhile listening to. And we were blessed. Now, the Judaizers, going from chapter 6, verse 6 to the end, the Judaizers, or the legalistic people that Dave called them the legalistic people. Judaizer, it means they're pretty well the same thing. We're talking about the same people. The cross was offensive to the legalistic people, to the Judaizers, because it was a cause for persecution and suffering. Today, people wear a cross around their neck. People wear a cross on their lapel. We aren't persecuted. But in the time of Christ, people who worshiped Jesus, who died on the cross, they were persecuted. And to find one's salvation solemnly in the cross of Christ was so abominable to the unbelieving Jews that those who believed were persecuted. Now, to avoid this persecution, the Judaizers played down the cross and promoted circumcision. This setting aside of the cross and putting forth the whole idea of following rituals and rules and circumcision enabled the Judaizers to gain the praise and honor of the Jewish people, rather than persecution, which Paul and the other Christians experienced. So this is to lay out the situation here. And we're going to give you the practical of that in a minute. But before we do that, we're going to just read verses 11 to 14.
Notice what large letters I use as I write these closing words in my own handwriting. Those who are trying to force you to be circumcised want to look good to others. They don't want to be persecuted for teaching that the cross of Christ alone can save. And even those who advocate circumcision don't keep the whole law themselves. They only want you to be circumcised so they can boast about it and claim you as their disciples. As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died.
Now, how can we apply this? Well, it's like us today. It's easier to try to get people to go to church, which is very important, even though we can't do it right now, but we are doing it thanks to Zoom. We are encouraging people to give an offering. We're encouraging people to do this, that, the other thing. And a lot of places say these things will get you to heaven. if you do this, that, the other thing, and you're a good person, you keep the golden rule, you will arrive. It's much easier to tell people that and say, just trust and obey. It's so easier, much people to say, to do something. And when they do it, of course, they sit back and they say, look what I did. I gave blood to the Red Cross, or I helped this little old lady cross the street, or I raked this people's leaves that have fallen this fall. But no, we have to trust what God has for us, and we must obey what he says for us to do. That's the question here, really. Is it truth or tradition? That's the question. It's easier, in a sense, to follow tradition than to live the truth. I tell people a lot of times, not anymore because I don't see many people, but I say on Monday many times, they'll say, well, what did you do on the weekend? I said, well, I preached. Oh, you're a preacher. Oh, no. I said, yes, but you know, it's much easier to preach it than to live it. Isn't that right? It's so much easier to follow tradition than to follow what the Bible says. As I said, helping Union Gospel Mission, helping at the food bank, taking people shopping, all good things to do. That will not get us to heaven. That will not be pleasing to God. He doesn't want our friends, offerings. He wants our obedience. Yes. So it's truth and or tradition. And even though there are many good traditions, now we just worship the Lord. We say, some people say, that's your tradition. No, it's a truth. It's in the Word of God. We can show you what the Bible says. And that's what's so important. Now let's read the last parts of these verses in verses 15 to 18. Follow along in your Bibles, please.
It doesn't matter whether we have been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. May God's peace and mercy be upon all who live by this principle. They are the new people of God. From now on, don't let anyone trouble me with these things, for I bear in my body the scars that show I belong to Jesus. Dear brothers and sisters, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.
Amen. Now to Paul, the Apostle Paul, the cross was everything. And neither circumcision nor uncircumcision was anything. What really mattered was death to sin, death to the law, and becoming a new creature through what God accomplished on the cross. Let's read verse 15 once again. Look in your Bibles there, because this is so important that we follow the cross, not the tradition.
It doesn't matter whether we have been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation.
Yes, the Judaizers took pride in their own circumcision. It's just like we take pride in, well, I did this, or I did this there, or I went here, or I went there. No, we are to be not like the Judaizers, not like the legalistic people trying to keep the law, trying to. The Judaizers boasted. They boasted. Well, the mark of circumcision was the Judaizers' badge of discipleship. The marks on Paul's body, as Gloria read, those were more significant to him, for they were evidence of his belonging to Christ in verse 17. So let's try together as a community to follow not the tradition, but to what? Yes, to be obedient. That's what God. We used to sing, trust and obey, for there's no other way. And that's so true. Yes, the law is important. I appreciate the law, and I look at the law, and I try to keep the law. But the law will not get me to heaven. The law will not satisfy God. Even the Judaizers wanted to try to keep the law, but they couldn't. They did all the traditions. But it's obedience is what really counts. See, Christ was the end of the law. Jesus Christ accomplished the law. And that's what is so important here. Yes, we mustn't put the law aside. We must read it. We must, they're all good, the Ten Commandments, but we must trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what is so important here. Living according to the flesh or to the spirit in perspective. Now, this is where the rubber meets the road, as we used to say. So we've covered the part of sowing to support teachers. Now, how about, what does it mean by sowing to the spirit or sowing to the flesh? Now Paul applies the comparison of planting and harvesting to living in the flesh and living in the spirit. Are we living in the flesh or are we living in the spirit? Those who insist on trying to be made righteous before God by efforts of their flesh in following the law will harvest, what's it say in the Bible?
Corruption
or death. It is similar way, those who plant only the seed of their own sinful desires will also harvest death. Only those who plant God's spirit, only those who plant God's spirit by faith in Christ will harvest eternal life. And we find that in Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. Paul encourages those who walk by the Spirit not to give up good doing. I used to always say, we are not saved by good works. We are saved for good works. Don't get tired of it. This is what Paul is writing. Don't get tired of doing good works. The harvest is coming. Yeah. Use up all the planting time to do good to everybody, especially other Christians in this house of faith we live in as brothers and sisters with the same Father. I encourage you to do that. You know, the verse that I always use, of course, is, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This is what Paul is telling us here in the last few words of his letter to the Galatians. Now, makes me think of a story. There was this young man waiting for the bus, and there he is. You see him on your screen? Yeah. He's waiting for the bus. And there was a little boy came up to him. And a little boy came up to him and sat down. Yeah, the little boy sat down. And while the little boy was waiting for the bus, he brought a puzzle out, a little puzzle on his lap, just a little simple thing. And he was playing with that and doing that while the people were waiting for the bus, and other people came and everybody's waiting for the bus. And all of a sudden, the bus comes and everybody jumps up to get on the bus. Well, when they jumped up, he dropped the puzzle and all the pieces of puzzle were on the ground. And the people were getting on the bus and they were trampling on this poor kid's puzzle. But this man sitting there, he got on his hands and knees and helped that little boy pick up all those parts of his puzzle. Now the bus took off and the man was there by himself with the little boy trying to get all the pieces together. And when they got everything back in the box, the boy looked to the man and said, "Are you Jesus?" Oh, isn't that, I'm not going to get emotional now, but I think that is absolutely phenomenal. Are you Jesus? Yes. Just like the mature man on the bus station, Paul is telling the mature Christians of Galatians, your job, your calling, your responsibilities is to be like Christ, is to be more like Christ. You and I are the ambassadors of Christ. That's what he's saying here, and he said it in other verses. We are the hands, we are the feet, we are the mouth, and we are to try to live as he would live on this earth. He has chosen you and I to be his hands and his feet here on earth. Yes, we are all but instruments of God. We are instruments of God. And that is so important. Paul goes on to say that in the caring of these individuals, we are to understand we are not responsible for the outcome. We are only instruments of God's plan. Now, we have to share with them about the grace of God. But if they believe or don't believe, it's not your fault. It's not my fault. Our job is to be faithful to the word of God. He does the reaping. We do the sowing. That's what he's saying here. If we had the heart of God, we would have compassion for these people and we would tell them, but don't give up. Maybe you've been praying for a son. Maybe you've been praying for your grandson or granddaughter. Maybe you're praying for an uncle, an aunt. Maybe you're praying for a friend. Don't give up. I prayed for my brother for 23 years. And finally, he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I had nothing to do with it at the particular time he accepted. But I was faithful for 23 years. And that's what God wants us to do, to be faithful. And that will work towards holiness. What does it say in 6:8, Lo?
Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life.
There's a sowing to the flesh, as I said, which reaps corruption, versus a sowing to the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit reaps eternal life, Galatians 6 and 8. The flesh is that which Christians have crucified. We are to crucify our flesh with all its passions and with all its desires. It says that in Galatians chapter 5, 24. We studied that a couple of weeks ago. But there's still a temptation, even you and I, to sow to the flesh in thought, in word, in deed. This does not mean that we lose our salvation. Therefore, we must realize that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But we are to be working towards holiness, to be more like Christ. Sowing to the Spirit is to set our minds on the things of God. We find that in Colossians 3, verses 1 to 2. We begin to reap in this life through communion with God. This is eternal life, said Jesus, that you know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Yes, we are to sow to the Spirit. Sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. Our theme of sowing and reaping covers the subject of financial support to teachers of the Word of God and to sow to the flesh and to the Holy Spirit versus holiness. And the last part of it is verse 9. Would you want to read verse 9, Glo?
So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up.
The third use of the theme of sowing and reaping relates to well-doing. Literally, in doing well, we should not lose heart. And sometimes we do lose heart, don't we? I certainly do sometimes, and I'm sure you do also. What does this say?
As for the rest of you, dear brothers and sisters, never get tired of doing good.
So all through the scripture, for in due season, we shall reap. Galatians 6 and 9.
If we don't give up.
We'll reap if we don't give up. We used to say, and if Jessica's there, she'll understand this. We used to say in Quebec, lâche pas la patate. Don't give up. Keep going, moving on. Two steps forward. Yes, there might be a step back now and then, but four steps forward. Maybe there's a step back, but five, keep moving on. Keep doing good.
Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith.
Yes, Paul closes his letter with a plea and two blessings. Paul tells everyone to stop causing him trouble since he belongs to Jesus. His blessings, he blesses all who follow the rule that circumcision doesn't matter. Tradition doesn't matter. The important thing is the truth. And being a new creature in Christ does matter. And he offers his standing closet blessing, referring to Christians as brothers. So I ask my dear brothers and sisters out there to please, please, don't give up. Yes?
There are no mention of travel plans. No final greetings. No prayer requests. No expression of joy. No doxology. And the final benediction is conditional.
Yes. Don't give up, dear friends. Notice also he says in capitals or bold when writing to you shows that he is writing is very, very important. So, dear friends, don't give up. Paul's conclusion to his letter, he takes the pen in his own hand and he writes it down. He writes in large letters. Yes, dear friends, don't give up. We're just going to have a very quick clip, but I'd like to mention this, which is very important. Will you be the hands and feet of Jesus? This is the question. Will you be the hands and feet of Jesus? Now, I'm hoping this will come out okay. If it doesn't, you tell me, please. But just a 2-minute clip here. I'll just turn it on here. Where are you off to?
I see. Well,
I'm going to find God, he says. Isn't that exciting? Did you enjoy that? Excuse me while I wipe the tears off my my eyes. Those are the. I see somebody else there doing it too. That's great. Are we like Jesus? Do we go out of our way? Do we look? Do we try to invent ways that we can show people that we are different? Or do we just pass by? Are we like the Good Samaritan? Are we ready to spend our time, our money, our talents to encourage those people? I have never had so much opportunity to talk to people in this neighborhood since the pandemic. Yes, over the fence, at a distance, but people are open. I'll just give a little prayer and then we'll have another song, I believe. So let's just ask God's blessing once again on this message. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again that we could open up Galatians chapter 6 to the end. We just pray for Heavenly Father that we might sow to the Spirit and not sow to the flesh. Help us, Heavenly Father, to do good to everyone, especially to our brothers and sisters here at Park Crest. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for this wonderful time together. And we just give you our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.